It is Friday, the 26th of September, and this is episode 223 of Digital Outbox. Hello, welcome to another episode of Digital Outbox. I'm Chris, and joined as ever by Ian. Hello, Ian.
Good evening, Chris. Good to see you back.
Yeah, back in this seat. Servers are just about hanging in there tonight, which is good news. And we finished our bake-off chat, which which went on longer than it should have done. So we're probably all ready to get on with some news.
Absolutely. Let's go.
Let's go, because Larry Ellison, he is, was the CEO of Oracle and has been forever. He stepped down. He's got to 70 years old and he's decided this is enough. He's no longer CEO, but he's going to stay on as chief technical officer. So he's still going to be in the mix. And he's been taken, the replacement, it's not a replacement, it's replacements. Because they're going to have two CEOs, which is an oxymoron.
Not going to work.
No, how can it? I mean, it's chief. Chief, that means one.
Unless they've got some grand plan that at some point they're going to split in two, you know, that they think there's a, because they've got a hold of the hardware and stuff, and I just wonder, are they looking at the hardware and thinking, spin it off? I don't know.
The whole point of the CEO is that's where the buck stops, right? You have a CEO, and then if you've got these two disparate things, because they're going to split the responsibilities, basically. So they're going to have sales, service, and business selling, and those kind of things. That's going one side, and the other side is going to be illegal. It's going to be legal, finance, manufacturing. So that's the split across. So you can kind of see that they're kind of specialist areas. But normally you'd have a person above these two that's where the buck stops.
Yeah, and it just feels like they're going to have these two like dynasties under them, you know, and like they're going to be fighting each other and saying it's that division's fault.
No,
it's that
division's fault. Left Twix and right Twix.
And you do kind of think, you know, so like Ellison's saying he's stepping down, but he's really still probably the guy in charge.
It's almost like they're saying, you're too old. We need a replacement strategy. Let's do this now. And we'll see which one of these guys, I was going to say, see one of these cats, because one of the guys is Safra Cats, which is a cool name.
But not as cool as Mark Hurd,
rife for mispronunciation. Yep, so they're going to go on, and then shares dropped 3% just a few hours after that. Shares always drop. Shares drop because someone sneezed.
Yeah, but just it doesn't make sense.
Someone sneezed. Sell. Yeah, do you know of any other company in that massive arena that's got two chiefs? No.
There's been stuff talked about in the past where people have done it, and it always tends to fail because ultimately you need one person.
Maybe they're going to fight it out. Maybe this is part of this process, really. You know, just let's see. Yeah. But it's a big company to be fighting out like that.
It's massive. But I've got to be honest. Their approach to buying is just immense. It's just like, our competitors bought something. Buy something.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if this is just me, but they always sound like a bit of a bastard company as well. They're a bit. I mean in the nasty sense, as in, you know, they seem a bit gitty. Like all that Sun Systems stuff that went on. It was all and anyway, whatever.
I guess
splurging their name.
No, the only thing I could see is that I've had lots of dealings with them. Never had that. Never had that issue.
Well, you've got money. Right, the government, it is cracking the problem of identifying us online. This isn't, you know, nasty at all. This is pretty much them responding to the UK public saying we don't want identity cards. So the government's saying, right, well, how then can we stop fraud online? How do we know you are who you are? So that what they're going to do, they're going to set up this thing called, is it identity? Is that what they're calling it?
I thought it was verify
maybe.
Yes, it's verify. Okay,
verify. They're going to, this is like a brand name, if you like, because actually they're not going to be doing this verification. They're going to be farming that out to what I guess they're going to call trusted companies, which is, again, shows something about our society when we trust companies more than government. But they will be doing the actual verification, and that will be you sort of passing over details that 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 other company already knows. So it can be things like passport numbers, it could be driving license numbers. I don't know if it's account numbers come into it, but anyway, so could be all sorts of different ways of identifying you. And also you need a sort of a two-step verification process. So I think you need a mobile device or something along those lines to be able to ongoing to be able to speed up the process. So the idea is initially it takes about 10 minutes to register, and ongoing it's a lot quicker a process.
And what they're talking about is a kind of beta launch over the next sort of month or two, and open up to a wider audience. And this is from the GDS, so Government Digital Service, who have done a lot of...
which have had a good track record so far.
Fantastic work. I mean, some of the stuff they've done, you know, with the government services and the kind of digital platform has been really good. The first companies that they're working with, Experian and Verizon. So Experian, I think probably most people have heard of. If you've done any kind of credit checks, you've probably stumbled upon Experian.
One of the three companies doing it, aren't they?
Yeah, and in the future, they're looking at post offices, banks, and phone operators. So people that have already got quite a lot of, you know, we can verify that this person's at this address and we've got a lot of identity information about them. So it was Rory Kicklin-Jones was beta testing this. He tried to do it and it failed. so he has fed that back to the GDS team, and I guess the issue is that they can't see his personal data because it's all getting handled by a third party. So again, it's like it becomes quite then difficult to fault find. You know, they don't understand why two separate companies failed to verify his identity.
But they're saying it's still a product that's very much in development, and his failure will roll into their self-improvement process, I'm sure.
But I mean, it did make me think that we're getting to a, you know, I will have a, you know, a verified identity. I can see a whole lot of the government services probably ending up with some sort of single sign-on with that identity, you know, making it far easier to, you know, to use all these different websites and stop me having to, you know, almost like create a profile or log into each one.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly sounds like the end goal, doesn't it? You know, once they've figured out that method of you proving who you are, then that can be the way into everything, with the associated risks associated with that.
Yeah, and it's like you said, I mean, it's like we seem to be trusting a company more than the government. And right at the end, when the article did finish with a question, there will also be plenty of questions of trust. Do we really want a credit agency or a bank interfering in a relationship with the government? Government's proposed, you know, an online verification system before, it was like, that. Boo.
Well, they haven't really proven very good at keeping our data secure, have they? Whereas actually companies more recently haven't been proved very good at that either. So you know, who knows? This week also saw a really quite critical bash security vulnerability. Bash is born against shell, and it's effectively used across all Unix systems, and across all Mac also is based on that Unix shell, therefore is also vulnerable. And this was a way that via the HTTP, so via the web, they could use that bash interface then to gain control of that server. So pretty fundamental, again, clever stuff, but it needed patching and it also needed some process change. Most patches are now available across most of the major providers, but it's taking a while to roll it out. So this doesn't necessarily affect you as a person using websites, but certainly if you've got hosting, then it's, you know, your hosting provider should be patching and things like this to stop your websites being used in this malicious way.
And it's a bit like the Heartbleed problem, which was earlier this year. It's a fairly fundamental flaw. You will probably be affected. They're now saying there's some stuff out in the wild that is now starting to use this particular.
Once they gain control of the server, or, you know, effectively they do then have access to get onto things like the databases, which hold all the data, which then allow you to get in. It could be behind a number of these hacks and hack account problems we've had recently.
Absolutely, and this is the thing. There's lots. I think there's lots of holes that obviously, you know, the kind of hacker community are aware of, and it's just it will take a long time to plug off.
Because I'm sure the hacker community protect those things as well. And in fact, I'm pretty sure that, you know, a government agency that finds these things, we've seen how they like to be able to hack around and go and have a look at things. I'm pretty sure they wouldn't let it be generally known as well.
No, because
they've got back doors into most systems.
Absolutely, and that was the rumour with Heartbleed, you know, that there was a... It was well known, it was exploited, if you look at when it was first kind of talked around, it seemed to tie up with a lot of the presentation slides that were leaked from Snowden that said, this is all here and we've got roots in. And it all seemed to be around that time. So
essentially, there are some very, very, very clever people out there who actually know how computers work, rather than you or I who just sit there operating a computer thinking like we know what we're doing. But actually, fundamentally, we don't understand what's going on at the core and the root level.
My skill set can be now basically, I know how to use Google. And I can read English.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, there is that underlying knowledge, which at the moment, yes, things are still got holes in. And eventually, you know, some of those clever people are finding holes and not letting people know. So hopefully the nearly as clever people will catch up soon. BlackBerry Passport. Yikes. This is a new smartphone by BlackBerry. And if you haven't had a peek at it, go take a peek, because it will make you go, yikes. What do you think?
It's horrendous.
How would we describe it?
A lunchbox kidding on it's a phone.
So this is the most unusual thing about it is that it is almost square. So it is an oblong still. It's like 3.5 by 5 inches, but it's got a physical keyboard. Therefore, the actual screen itself is very, very nearly square.
Yep, and it's like, I'm just looking at the iPad sitting in front of me. It's like half in the iPad, and you end up with it's like two thirds of an iPad, and you end up with this kind of quite stubby
yes,
and wide.
The best description of it is take an iPhone, put another iPhone by it, and then you're pretty much there. Mm. That's kind of what it looks like. And the first thing you think is, well, that's not going to fit in my hand. And in the unboxing videos that I watched, the guy was obviously, yeah, comfortably fits in your hand, as you could see his fingers straining. And look, my thumb can reach over all the way on the keyboard. And his thumb was reaching as far as it could, and it was still missing the last two keys. So it's clearly a device that you're designed to operate two-handed. So like you would have done the Game Boy. That's probably the best analogy of how you'd hold this thing. But the screen did come, you know, a square screen is the best use of space. I think we've said this before, actually. I used to chastise the iPad for being the old, you know, old ratio rather than widescreen. But actually, for usability, it's great.
Yeah, and I'll come on to that, because I've got a Surface Pro 3 now at work. Mm-hmm. So I'll at the end of this I'll explain some of that. The thing, I just find it bizarre, because it's not going to fit in a pocket unless they're targeting like inside suit pockets, you know, that big kind of wide.
Yes, that would probably just about fit in a suit pocket, wouldn't it?
Because it's not going to go in your pocket, as in trouser pocket. It's not going to go in your back trouser pocket. It's not going to fit denims. It's like the only thing I can think is it's going to sit in a bag, or it's going to sit in some sort of briefcase, or it's going to be that inside pocket, or it might fit in my sporn. That's the only places where I can think that this thing would fit.
What have you got in your sporn? I've got a BlackBerry.
I've got a passport. A BlackBerry passport.
It's quite a powerful bit kit, though, right?
It is. I mean, it's got lots of. It's got 3 gig of RAM. It's got 30. It comes with 32. It's got 13 megapixel camera. But it's just weird. CPU wise, it's one of these quad core Snapdragon. So it's got a big battery because it's a big phone.
Yeah.
The one that I thought was quite interesting, the keyboard was touch sensitive, so you could actually swipe on the keyboard. So there's a little bit of innovation there.
They thought some clever stuff out, like as long as you don't click the keys, they add almost as they're almost like a touchpad, right? So for things like fine selecting of words or selecting blocks of text, it's a lot easier than the current method on, say, the iPad, where you have to click and press with your finger, and then it jumps around without you knowing. Stuff like that.
And it's weird. I look at it and just think, I can't see anybody looking at that and thinking, yeah, that's the device I want. And it's a bit like, I'm trying to think, it's like a Beetle. You know, so a Beetle looks quite nice in certain colours, as in the car. And then you'll see a brown one and you'll think, why?
Why did you do that?
Why did you buy that? Because nobody's going to buy that off you. You know, I feel like, I don't know. I mean,
for me, I can see a businessman using this. I can see, you know, the BlackBerry still holds sway. I still see people on the train all the time on BlackBerries.
And
the operating system is an underused thing. They needed something that would use 10.1, 10.3.
And I think some people still would prefer the physical keyboard, because I still, you know, airports, trains, as you say, tapping out that mail on a physical keyboard definitely wins over a touch keyboard. But I see less and less now with BlackBerry.
And to be honest, that their physical keyboard is tiny, as in even on this device, it's still very narrow. It didn't look, you know, no. It's not a comfortable thing to do.
No. And another thing, and maybe this is just, maybe it's just my colleagues are clumsy. We still have BlackBerrys at our place for the kind of, you know, executives and want their emails and all that. They break so often. Mm. They are so bad from a... And when I'm comparing this to... I mean, they've got their own personal iPhones and Android devices. They don't break, you know, so...
Yeah, so I think we should... we don't know whether this is going to be the same. I mean, it's quite a sturdy-looking thing, so who knows?
I don't know. I mean, I applaud them for thinking there's a gap in the market. But there's a reason there's a gap in the market.
Yeah, I think it may be a little bit more successful than that. But you know what? The fact that it made me stand back and think, well, it's not for me, but actually I can see something, is more than their, whatever it was, the 10C or whatever they called it, was, I think I've just made that up entirely.
Well, no, because they went through all these kind of bolds and stuff and bold touch.
Yeah, it just didn't work, so.
No. So just before we go on to the next bit, yeah, I've got a Surface Pro 3, which I'm now trialing as my daily driver to replace my laptop.
Okay, and how's that?
And it's interesting. The hardware the hardware is very nice.
Yeah.
It's just when you talked about the screen size, it used to be widescreen, but they've went with the same ratio as the iPad.
Right. Okay.
Which does mean if you don't use like the type cover, and you just go for the soft keyboard, you can still see quite a bit. Whereas in the mm-hmm. widescreen, I think that was killing it because the keyboard.
You've got about an inch gap, yeah.
Yeah. The screen is, I mean, the resolution on it is crazy. I mean, is it 2000 and something pixels by something or other? It's like you cannot see a pixel. I've got only got 4 gig of RAM. So graphics wise, it's okay, as in performance. Windows 8, still a bit of a turd.
You have used on and off Windows 8 a few times now. Do you think it's getting better?
No, I mean, I've used Windows 8 at home on a VM. And the only touch device I've got is to use the trackpad in the Mac.
Yeah.
And see, if you try and use Windows 8 without a touchpad, it's like a touch interface, it's mm-hmm. madness. You know, you need to put a start menu on. You cannot
and
use
it's still,
it.
And it's
mouse.
Still, you think it's still fundamentally broken. They still haven't fixed
yeah.
that, really.
No, absolutely. Okay. And we'll see you next week when they're going to talk about Windows 9. And I think there'll be a real reversal.
What we did in Windows 8? We're sorry.
Well, it's weird. The kind of two or three sessions at work I've sitting on, it's amazing the people that I wouldn't have thought have picked up on, it's ice cream time. I mean, it's, Jesus Christ, it's the end of September. This isn't ice cream weather.
It's a bit desperate. He's got stock, obviously.
Basically, he's a drug dealer, isn't it?
I think so. He's a whiz.
It's amazing how many people haven't used... Well, it's a bit like what we're going to come on to next about the iPhones and their issues. It's how many people haven't used Windows but can tell you it's rubbish. There's no start menu.
Yeah.
And it's just out there as a thing. You know, it's out there and it's in people's head. The other... Some bits of it, as I said, really nice, but the fan kicks in so often. You know, mm-hmm. and it's like, and I know it's physics, you know, there's only so much you can squeeze into a space and expect it not to get hot, but it's disappointing when that kicks in.
Yeah.
And there's also quite a lot of, it's quite flaky. Like, it goes to sleep, and instead of going to sleep, it'll switch off.
Mm-hmm.
And we're awaiting firmware updates from Microsoft. And that's like, this is your third version of this. You shouldn't really be having those kind of issues.
And it's called Pro. Yeah.
Sort of interesting to see how it got on. It's definitely smaller.
It's good that we've got some hands-on interest in the podcast, because we've both had tinkers with Windows 8, but we don't live with it. And maybe by you living with it, you can give a more realistic, input on that, really.
Yeah, I can call a turd a turd.
Let's talk about the banana phones.
Oh.
And let's talk about the fact that metal bends if you put enough pressure on it. So this is the story that's going around and everywhere's reporting it and everyone's loving it, because the iPhone 6 Plus, the big iPhone, is apparently bending in some people's pockets. And if you listen to the news, it was like, oh, if you get one of these, it's going to bend if you put it in your pocket.
It was in all the papers. This is a problem for Apple. Apple shares dropped, I think, 4-5%. They lost $20 billion on the same day that this all broke.
And there were, the internet pictures of a phone with a kind of kink by its buttons. And then we've had the internet kind of people, these sort of live off these kind of things. And I've seen two videos where people have taken a perfectly good phone and destroyed it just by bending it. And you know what? What I took away from those two videos was, fuck me, if you ever do, excuse me, if you ever do this to your devices, you're mad. Because my Nexus would not be subject to that pressure, because they were saying, well, I'm only bending it with my bare hands, but you can, I could crush an iPad with my bare hand. I don't mean...
Well, the thing is...
I could crush an iPad.
But I mean, if I took like my... if I took my, like, my MacBook Air and I took the screen and started applying that pressure, it would break.
And, yeah, of course it would.
And laptops fall and things happen and it's like, that's just accepted. And yes, I guess if I had a phone and it was in my pocket for 10 hours and I took it out and it was a bit bent, I'd be like, oh, didn't expect that.
Yeah, cool. But the thing is, these things are massive. And I guess that's you know, people buy an Apple product and believe that it's going to be indestructible or beyond. Maybe they're going to make a rod for their own back. But this is one of the effects of going thinner and thinner and thinner. You remove structural or the ability to offer structural strength. So it's one of the drawbacks, and maybe this is their limit. This is where.
Yep, and as you said, metal bends, especially when a lot of pressure is applied.
I mean, you have to watch these videos just to. I'm just using my hands, and then they're physically shaking. Yeah. All the blood is pushed out of all their fingers where they're stretching and.
But it's also at the end when he says, "You know, my hands are hurting after that."
I'm pretty sure I could do that with any phone on the market, but there we go.
And Apple's response was at first no comment, and then I think it was next day after, they invited all the tech press to come and see our testing facilities. We'll show you what we put our phones through, and remember, we sold 10 million in 3 days. We've had 9 people complain so far.
Yeah, and it could be that 9 of those did have a manufacturing default of some sort, which actually left them with an additional weakness, and that shouldn't be overlooked. But and it's, you know, you shouldn't necessarily also just listen to what Apple say, because they, you know, they're going to spin it their way. But certainly the amount of people just waiting for, oh, what can go wrong? Oh, this is exciting. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, and it is. It's just a bit tiring. And it's a bit like you're holding it wrong, the old antenna gate. It almost seems like with Apple now, and especially because they're the biggest sellers out there and they're deemed to make, you know, the best phone, you know, I'll put that in bunny quotes, because obviously some people are like, oh, they're junk.
Well, the problem is the problem with a company whose mantra is it just works.
Yeah. No, I know.
And iOS 8.01 definitely didn't work for quite a lot of people. So this is more serious. It's probably got less attention, really. So basically they put out the 801 out to everyone, and it bricked a number. I say bricked, it stopped cellular access on a number of devices.
It stopped cellular access on an iPhone 6 and an iPhone 6 Plus. It also stopped Touch ID as well.
Which is a bit frustrating. You've just bought a new device and then nothing works.
I was frustrated.
Yes. And so actually they had to back away, didn't they?
So when I was sitting at my Mac just like I am just now, I saw the tweet that somebody tweeted saying, yeah, all one's out and all your HealthKit apps will start to appear. And I was like, HealthKit.
Yep.
So I just, you know, general software update, there it was, 70 meg, go. Took the iPad out, go. And just left them merrily whirring away. And, you know, 10 minutes later, they're all going through their white screen reboots.
Yep.
And I'm seeing some tweets saying, looks like if you update, you lose a cellular, certainly in America at least. I was like, hopefully it's just America. iPhone booted up and no service.
Well.
And no Touch ID. And it was like, oh, God.
It does, and it seems hard to know how that something that fundamental can be a problem. They must have tested this endlessly. So it's just a bit weird.
It's weird. It is very strange, because...
How different that is in the world, kind of thing.
And it's also, I mean, this, so Twitter blew up on this. And I was disappointed, because you generally need to have a trust in system updates. You know, you expect a system update to be, you know, to work. You know, in iOS 8, when it came out, there is quite a few bugs in it. It does feel quite buggy. My Wi-Fi is terrible. Just shocking. It will last 5 minutes and then I lose connection.
It's almost like, this is conspiracy theories. Maybe that if you release a buggy bit of software in Apple, right?
Yeah. You'll buy a new bit of hardware.
Buggy bit of software in Apple, your shares drop by 4%, which is tiny amounts. But because it's Apple, that's equal to $20 billion, yeah? So then you go and buy shares, and then 8.02 comes out in a couple of weeks, and then suddenly you've made 5%.
I don't know. I mean, it's like
because
the video,
they know it's going to bounce back. They know that that's just a temporary little blip.
But it's like when you see the video for the flexible iPhone. It was like sponsored by Squarespace, and you're like, come on, this isn't just a guy. This isn't just a guy sitting at home thinking I'll give it a go.
No, this is someone who's thought that through. Yeah,
he did a follow up one with the iPhone 6 and four others, and it was like, come on, this wasn't an issue. It's a bit like when Tenegate, when they first did it with the iPhone, and then they started doing it with Samsung ones and found out there was all these claws that you could do with your hand. Like, oh, look, it's dropping. So this was disappointing. The fix was relatively straightforward, but it was a 2 gig download. So see, for a lot of people that now are totally in the cloud, you know, don't rely on, you know, Macs and stuff, you were stuffed. You had to basically find a PC or Mac, download this 2 gig image, fire up iTunes, connect it, and then control or option, click if you're on a Mac, and do the update. You didn't wipe your apps and basically regress back to 8. And a lot of people assumed, well, next morning I'll have a fix for this. But they obviously wanted to make this right. So I actually, poor Shaq. Shaq's broke his laptop. So I took my laptop and the image in just to get him up and running again, just at work the next morning. And it takes 10 minutes, but a lot of people were like, I can't download a 2.x gig file. I just can't. But again, lots of people on Twitter, it sounds catastrophic, but they said today there's 38,000 people affected.
Still, so, I mean, that's an awful lot of people.
It is an awful lot. I mean, they pulled the update within half an hour. Yeah, so they pulled it very quickly. But it's all the early adopters and the ones that are noisy.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's all the magazines.
Yeah, so that took place on the 24th. We're on the 26th today. It's Friday, and 802 is out. So that seemed to install fine. Although I'm seeing people, there are still, it looks like people that are on 801 that are applying it and it's still not working. So slightly disappointing.
Right, we've been dragging our heels. So let's crack on through.
Have we? Oh,
yeah.
I've not even mentioned my phone. It's lovely.
Is it bent?
No, but it is gorgeous.
So you're enjoying it?
The curved glass on the front just to meld into the side. Lovely. Oh, honestly, the camera, fantastic.
Good for you.
Anyway.
Amazon has launched Kindle Unlimited, and the best description of this is it's Netflix for books. This has been in the US for a little while now. But it's coming over here, $7.99 a month, and you will be able to download and read a catalogue of 650,000 ebooks and have access to 2,000 audiobooks from Audible as well. Good service, especially if you like reading.
Yeah, it seems kind of hard to fault it if you're a reader. Yeah. They talked about some of the stuff on there. So there was the Harry Potter series, the Hunger Games, there was Man Booker Prize winners. But they also, I don't know, there is a bit of a whiff just now because they're in a battle with a couple of book publishers. So people were saying this is a, you know, and also there's maybe quite a lot of the popular books aren't on it. So it's not like it's not like here's everything in our top 100 books and sure, by signing up to this, you're going to get access to it.
But the same as Netflix, they just had a couple of hooks in. As soon as they got Breaking Bad, that was like a tipping point for them, because up to that point, no one was really on Netflix. Therefore, they didn't have the audience, and because their back catalogue was, they had occasional okay things, but they were weak for the rest of it.
Yeah.
Since Breaking Bad, and they had that tipping in, and they've had several other successful series since. Suddenly, boom, you're getting much, much better content now on Netflix because they've got that audience now.
No, definitely. And it also reminded me of Apple with iTunes. iTunes, when it first launched, had one publisher, maybe two. And people were saying, it's never going to be a good service. You know, 99p for tracks, it's never going to be a good service until you get Sony and Universal and all that. Yeah. And they all came.
Yeah, yeah. They saw the people, and then suddenly it was too much, you know, too much power there that they didn't want to not miss out, really. So, yes. And it's good. And Amazon is sort of best place to do it, really. I don't know if they're the best company as far as book people go, but because I don't think publishers like them very much. Crescent Bay, which is like Oculus's latest version of their Rift hardware. And this is pretty much getting to, I guess, final pre-customer releases.
Yep. So it's got 360-degree tracking, but I think the big step up this time is they're focusing on integrated audio. And it's seemingly optional, but they're really talking about trying to optimize the audio to
how
match
do
the 3D
space. Yeah.
The people that have tried it have said that between the original Rift and the DK2, which came out in July, the jump is the same again. You know,
So they're really refining it down now.
Yep.
So this is obviously a bit of hardware that everyone wants to play with. I'd love to have a one.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for our ones to come through. I bought Elite Dangerous just to try. That's all.
Virtual reality is real. They've been talking about it for so long, and now it's real.
And it's a bit like I've been disappointed that Morpheus for the PS4 just didn't. I mean, it's been in the demo floor, but nothing's really been talked about.
I guess now you've got mobile phones that are so powerful and have such amazing screens on them. It just means all that technology that's gone into them and all that learning and all that kind of minification can just be suddenly put into place, whereas you don't need that massive headset anymore. Because as I understand, all it really is that, you know, it plugs into your computer and it's just a mouse, effectively. It's a mouse driver, as long as it just works out where the mouse is.
Remember Samsung? I've launched their kind of Samsung VR that you plug the phone into.
And it's actually put the phones into it, yeah.
Yeah, seemingly it's pretty good.
Why wouldn't it be? They're amazingly powerful computers with great screens.
And the Oculus is just two Samsung screens at the front.
That's it. Yeah.
Plus.
Steam is going to get an overhaul. So Steam, I think probably yours and I, we recommend it as a game serving platform just on the basis that you buy it once and you can play it anywhere you can install Steam, which is actually pretty much any PC or Mac indeed. And because their library's so big now, they're trying to find different ways of letting people get at the content so they don't miss stuff that's there that would be good for them. So it's great for them as a marketing tool. But basically, it's their biggest sort of UI overhaul they've had in a long while.
And I think it's needed. I mean, it's not the same scale as like an app store on Android or on iOS, but it is like there's loads in there and you can't really find it. And that's my issue now with like the App Store. It's you're relying on other sites to tell you what's good. You're relying on people twittering to say, yeah, this is a good app, because you can't find anything now.
Yeah, and Steam, I guess, used to be the place, you know, people directed, you know, from a review, it said, oh, available on Steam. So you'd go there, you'd type in search, and away you'd go.
Yeah.
But now, because people have got Steam installed and they go to it quite regularly, it's now you go there to browse games. It's almost like a shop now. And that's what they've never done very well up till now. And they're obviously trying to address that with this latest thing.
Yes.
Good for them. When's that? Do we know when that's being rolled out?
I think they just said it was going to be over the coming month.
Yeah, so, okay. Keep an eye out for Steam if you're interested in that side of things. Microsoft is dropping the price of Xbox again. Xbox One is coming down to $32,999 for their base model. Starting to get in the region of an ongoing price now, right?
Yeah, I mean, the PlayStation 4 is still sitting at $349.
So they're 20 quid under that at the moment, but this is for the base model with, you know, pretty much nothing associated with it.
Yeah, and there's been some interesting bundles recently, you know, as well with it. And they have to, because even though they've dropped the price and they're doing all these great bundles, PS4 is still slapping them silly.
And it's you know, tipping of numbers. I have, you know, after all our Xbox One slating and berating, it's starting to become a little bit more solid. I grant them that they are making changes in the right direction. It's just bit slow and a bit late, and
it should have
been there to start with.
Absolutely. I mean, creating parties and stuff is fairly straightforward. You see people coming online and all that. The obvious stuff that should have been there.
Should have been there.
And it's funny because obviously we've had like Lefty join Xbox One group recently. And he's like, you know, it's not that bad. I don't know what everybody's complaining about. It's like, if you were here last December, you would have been howling.
It's still only a 90% success rate, I'd say, as far as, you know, getting everyone in the right group and everyone be able to talk to each other, though. So it's still not as solid as the old one.
No. And there's still these odd kind of NAT issues that creep up. But then, if you look at all the
networking for you.
Yeah. And Destiny's been really good. I mean, Destiny's been pretty solid.
I would say we've had one evening of misconnection, but that was a known issue, and global wasn't just us. So yeah, been pretty reliable. And considering how many people are playing it, and how many, you know, how many servers that must be spawning up all over the place, it must be pretty amazing.
Yeah,
good for them. We've made it to the end of the podcast. But have you got a pick?
No. Have you got a pick?
Have I? Buggery. No, I don't have a pick. So that is the end of the podcast. We did zip through those last stories. Well done. If you want to find out more about us, what we do, you can do. And it's at www.digitaloutbox.com. And you can email us info@digitaloutbox.com. And we're also on Twitter and Skype as Digital Outbox. If you want to find out more about me, you can do. CheesyUK is my Twitter, and academyracer.co.uk if you want to find out about the racing that I do in my spare time. Ian, where can we find you?
Blog is iand.net. I have a couple of posts coming up, one all about shady politics and referendums, seeing as we're still, oh, we forgot to say, we're still part of the UK.
Yeah, we can talk together. You're not a foreigner. Well, you are.
It seemed ironic last week that the two Scots did it in referendum night.
Yeah, it was good. It was like almost like it was meant to be.
And I'll have some thoughts on the iPhone, iOS 8.
I cannot wait to read those stories, Ian.
I think you can. And I'm on Twitter as Sweeper.
Brilliant. Okay, we will speak to you again next week. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.